This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Happy Hump Day, everybody. It is VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose. Mark Malusa in for Super Dave Ross rest of this week. Sources do tell me, Moose, that Dave is on his way back to Kentucky, Tennessee, at the border there. I know he'll probably make a stop in Bristol as per tradition for his big, long drives here. We have a hell of a show on board. Jonathan Von Tobel coming up here in about 40 minutes time. We'll get his thoughts on where things are, not only in NBA free agency. Where will LeBron go? I know a heartbreak hotel for him in the World Cup. I'll let him tell you why the family was so invested in some matches here the last couple of days. Our daily gridiron today, we will stop in Jacksonville, get a look at the Jaguars in the AFC South. The AL Central is our stop for the audit in our divisions day by day. But first and foremost, Professor Malusis, we have to refer to you after yesterday. How was the programming down there in Iona yesterday afternoon?
Oh, it was great. You know, talked about sports talk radio and the industry, the business, and where things are trending, what you need to do in order to be successful as a host, and dedication, be easy to work with, like all that kind of good stuff. So it was a blast. A lot of, you know, a lot of high school kids and a couple kids getting ready to go to high school. So eighth graders. So it was an absolute blast. It was fun.
Look at you shaping the young minds of tomorrow, and maybe one of or two of them will be here on VSiN in the near future. All right. If you're just waking up with us, we appreciate you making us a part of your morning every single day. Let's get you started with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
I don't know if we're going to be able to top it. It just continues to wow you that these World Cup finishes are something of the theater of absurd, as Dave Ross would say. Argentina down 2-0 to Egypt into the final 10 minutes of regulation. And all of a sudden, the Argentinians just flipped the script. It was Christian Romero in the 79th minute to get one. And then Lionel Messi off a rebound with the equalizer. And then in stoppage time, Enzo Fernandez with a game winner that will have a long lore in Argentinian football history. Moose, I was outside doing yard work. I put this thing to bed when Egypt got the second goal. I said, well, we're going to have a new champion this year. And this is kind of how it happens. By the way, this venue, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, has seen epic comebacks, improbable comebacks, the greatest ever to do it. Tom Brady chiming in yesterday. Yeah, so that might top 28-3 when the Patriots came all the way back against the Atlanta Falcons. Make sense of it in your eyes, Mark. This was a match. I don't know if it's the best match of the tournament, but damn, it's got a pretty good candidacy to be that.
Yeah, it's pretty close to being there. I mean, I don't know if it necessarily tops 28-3, but, you know, it was miraculous. I mean, it really was. You know, the reaction after Messi scored, how that place, that entire place erupted, Argentinian fans crying, you know, as they rallied. I think the headline we have there, Heart of a Champion, is exactly right. And you saw that, a gut-wrenching loss for Egypt. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, they did everything they needed to do. Got the first goal, got the second goal, led it the 78th minute, and unfortunately lose that game in stoppage time. I mean, just crazy. And lose the match in stoppage time, just unbelievable. So, I mean, what we witnessed, and you mentioned in terms of flipping on a switch, everything changed after that first goal, and Argentina kept the pressure on. Messi with the equalizer, and then you get the game winner in extra time. It was just in injury time. It was just remarkable. It was an unbelievable scene. And, you know, we were texting a little bit during the course of it, toward the tail end, you, myself, and Joe. I mean, it always hits. I mean, it really does, the World Cup. It has been an unbelievable event. I'm going to miss it when it comes to an end. The drama, the realization that this is only comes around every 4 years, the pressure that is palpable that you feel, the announcers do a great job of setting the tone. And then you get some, all the finest soccer players in the world putting their exploits on the pitch for their respective country. It has been a remarkable tournament.
To think that this should have been much closer because Lionel Messi missed the penalty kick in the first half. Yeah. That Mark would have gotten our first half draw home. Shout out Malcolm Bamford. He was all over it yesterday, but arguably the greatest goal scorer in the modern era, maybe even in history, to miss yet another PK, multiple missed penalty kicks by Lionel Messi that would have gotten that bet home for us. Well, all's well that ends well. We hit the over 2.5 with flying colors, a scintillating win from Argentina. That qualifies them for the quarterfinal round where they will meet Switzerland. What a finish to this game. 0-0 in regulation, 0-0 through extra time. And yet again, we get drama with penalty kicks. Guys that absolutely crush it off the crossbar, airmail it over the crossbar, and the Swiss able to hit 4 of their 5. They send Colombia packing. And for the first time since 1954, the Swiss are in to the World Cup quarterfinal. 72-year wait here, Moose, and they will have their work cut out for them against Argentina, no question about it.
Yeah, no doubt, and the pressure is real, and you saw that for Colombia in penalties. You also saw it where, it was a scenario of, missed opportunities for Colombia during, normal time, and then when you get into extra time, nobody wants to make the critical mistake, and then you put it on penalties, and everything changed when, I think the second penalty kicker for Colombia, hit the crossbar up top. And then all of a sudden, Switzerland misses one. And then a tremendous save by the Switzerland goalkeeper to the right side of the net, where Colombia had an advantage to take the lead in penalties once again. And after that, Switzerland buried theirs, and that was it. It was just remarkable. I mean, just great, fantastic. A little disappointed because, I had a future on Colombia. A little disappointed that we didn't get Colombia and Argentina in the next round, but give Switzerland a ton of credit. A team that, or a team that goes out there and understands what they need to do, minimizes what they can't do, and some of the limitations they are as a soccer team, and played that match at their level for the majority of it and withstood some Colombia onslaughts at times, and had some great saves, but tremendous win for Switzerland.
Definitely. We will reset where the quarterfinal odds now are with the bracket down to the Elite Eight, if you will. And still no real change at the top. France, the short shot, plus $1.80. Spain is now south of 4-1 at plus +370. Argentina at 4-1. England plus +470. And then double digits for the rest of the surviving squads there. Much more to come up here in the show. We finally get. You thought it was a long wait for Switzerland, 72 years to get in the quarterfinal. It probably felt that way for Paul Skeens because entering yesterday, Pittsburgh had been 0-9 in his last 9 consecutive starts. Well, they leave absolutely no doubt in pasting the Atlanta Braves. He goes 6 strong innings, giving up just 2 runs. Ryan O'Hearn, come on down. Your table is ready. 3 homers, 10 ribbies. That a Pirates franchise record, 18th time in Major League history to have double-digit RBI with 3 home runs in a single game. But it's not all good news here, Moose. Connor Griffin, their phenom and top prospect, has a finger injury that will force him to miss upwards of 8, maybe even 10 weeks. Terrible news for a team we just talked about yesterday in our National League Central audit of where we kind of thought Pittsburgh would be into the playoff hunt. I would say, though, that it sounds like they are a bit more optimistic. This could be on the shorter side. But either way, a guy that was so critical, bringing a lot of juice, a lot of production to the top of the lineup, he will sorely be missed.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. My over in the game hit, so I was happy about that, in terms of didn't exactly think it was going to look the style and fashion in which it did. But yes, I mean, they get a Skeens start victory, which is good for the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's terrible news when you're looking at the young phenom in Connor Griffin for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But really good offensive team. We ran through it yesterday in terms of their offensive production. And if the pitching can get really, really consistent and they get where, some of their young stars in that rotation can go out there and, especially led by Skeens, can pitch up to expectations. That Pirate team obviously is going to be a big time threat in the National League to make it into the playoffs.
All right, so we've got not only an opportunity for some slugging there in PNC Park, we had it also down at Tropicana Field, and a guy now that has entered officially into the Home Run Derby, Ben Rice. Really cool Instagram video for those that haven't seen it yet. Highly encourage you to go watch it. It is a little tyke, youngster, Ben Rice, playing the Home Run Derby with his pops in their backyard. A really neat moment. That's how he announced that he officially will enter. He did say his dad will be his batting practice pitcher there for the Home Run Derby in Philadelphia next week. Really cool moment. So Junior Caminero, Ben Rice. Ironically, they both played against each other yesterday. Rays getting the win 6-4 in comeback fashion over the Pinstripers. Like to see it here, Moose, and I think he's going to have a blast, especially at the short porch there at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, no question. And it's great. Listen, Ben Rice came up and, you know, didn't have the expectations of a guy that was going to be transformational, but has been really, really good as a New York Yankee. He really has been. And he's hit a home run last night down at the Trop as well that gave the Yankees a lead early on. And unfortunately for the Yankees, they weren't able to, you know, come away with the win. But still, you look at a scenario where that's pretty cool. Home Run Derby is awesome every time it rolls around. And that's going to be a pretty cool father-son moment in the Derby, no doubt.
We will handicap it next Monday. And obviously, once we get the entire field of eight, some odds will be populating here sooner than later. Speaking of odds, what were the odds of Argentina making as historic a comeback with 10 minutes remaining plus stoppage time in yesterday's round of 16 match? We will tell you, someone in New York hit for how much? Give you the details next on VSiN by the Books.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge, but what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
There's no shortage of betting opportunities this summer, and from daily Major League Baseball, World Cup soccer, to the countdown to football season, that's why now is the perfect time to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. You'll get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including our already published NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, division races in the upcoming season. As always, when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get our daily best bets, our real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you get. $175, our VSiN football special now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis alongside Mark Melusis here in for Super Dave Ross. Rest of the week, super is the operative word because that is what yesterday was on the pitch to round out the round of 16. Argentina down 2 goals. With about 10 minutes plus stoppage time to go in regulation, they end up somehow pulling the rabbit out of the hat yesterday. And so much so that there was a bettor, Moose, in New York that apparently decided to flirt with danger and laid $200 on the live price of Argentina, not to qualify, but at 25-1, down 2-0 to win in regulation. 200 to win $5,000. This, according to great friend of the show, Patrick Everson, senior reporter at Vegas Insider. I cannot fathom how that better was for those 12, 13 minutes when you put that bet in there and you're watching kind of this unfold. Incredible theater, unbelievable comeback. And boy, when Messi hit the equalizer, you could hear there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, just the fever, the absolute pop when he hit the equalizer on the broadcast. Oh my God. Just an incredible moment there for Argentina.
Yeah, I went back last night. I listened to like three different calls of the Argentina comeback. I mean, just to kind of relive it after we went through it yesterday afternoon. I mean, it was remarkable. Congratulations to that New York bettor. I mean, that's betting a little for a lot to turn 200 bucks into $5,000 at 25-1. And something we talked about earlier, you know, yesterday, Jensen, or earlier in the week, maybe it was on Monday, to where a little bit of live betting where if you get a sense or you get a feel, or sometimes the odds swing such in favor that you are in an advantageous position to take advantage of it, given that you believe the other team that's trailing in the match is the team of quality and that they're going to be able to eventually impose their will. I'll be honest with you, even with all that, even the fact that, you know, how do you not root for Lionel Messi, the greatest of all time? How do you not root for that scene that transpired? You feel terrible for Egypt. And I thought, as that match was rolling along, it just seemed like it was going to be an Egypt afternoon down in Atlanta. And then you get the amazing Argentina comeback. I mean, that's why we love sports. I mean, it's just remarkable. You watch things that you never thought would happen, and you watch a guy that's in the later stage of his career, but his impact on soccer unquestioned, getting the equalizer yesterday. And then that game not even going to penalties, not even going to extra time. That game ends, in injury time, however way you want to call it, but it doesn't go to overtime. I mean, just unbelievable turn of events. You had to hang with it for a while, but if you did, you got rewarded as a sports fan to one of the great World Cup scenes that we've seen probably in our lifetime.
I think of a couple of goals that were disallowed and also the penalty kick. Again, let me go back to Malcolm Bamford at a great handicap in the first half there. Egypt gets the early goal with 18 minutes in. And then, you know, you have the penalty kick opportunity for Messi, and he missed again, like almost feels mental. For the greatest goal scorer to do it in the modern era, that would have gotten us home for the first half draw. That also would have given us two goals, and the over would have hit with flying colors the way that Egypt scored there in the second half. So we had to sweat a little over there for some time into the final 10 minutes. That gets home. And then even if you still were gambling a bit on Argentina to qualify, that was upwards of almost 6-1 there with 10 minutes remaining. So an incredible comeback. Argentina go through, and they will now meet Switzerland, who, you know, we handicapped it almost to a T yesterday, Moose. We thought it would be a grinder. We thought it'd be low scoring. There were chances for both sides. They weren't able to get it home. I ended up playing the correct score, 0-0 at halftime for a half unit at +230. That ends up getting home. So no goals in extra time. Switzerland win 4-3 on penalty kicks. So they are through, and the quarterfinal is set now for the quote-unquote Elite Eight of the World Cup. Tomorrow, we get an off day actually today, so catch your breath, America, and catch your breath, world. We have France-Morocco tomorrow at 4 o'clock. France, no shocker here, upwards of almost $4 to qualify. Morocco +295. Then it'll be Spain and Belgium. La Roja on Friday is -340 to qualify. Belgium +260. And then we get a two-pack on Saturday, 5 p.m., Norway and England. I know you and I will have a very watchful eye on the three Lions there. They are -225 to qualify. Norway at +180. And then Argentina, nearly a $3 favorite to qualify. Switzerland is +230. Here's where we are, at least on my futures portfolio, now that we have the quarterfinal bracket set. You and I discussed how I put together some of the shorter shots here and parlayed them cross sport with a couple of major league teams to win the World Series. So we have our big four alive. Argentina gave us a scare. They certainly did. But we get them, and they ironically have the shortest odds of those cross-board parlays. Argentina to win the Cup, the Mariners to win the World Series, just south of 57-1. That's alive. France and the Rays at 65-1. Spain and the Phillies a little over 105-1. England and the Brewers just south of 110-1. The only just straight up World Cup future winners that I have remaining are a half unit on Norway at 30-1 and a quarter unit on Morocco at 60-1. Why is this critical? Well, We're at least getting either France in the Rays parlay at 65 plus 65.50 or Morocco at 60-1 through by virtue of them playing each other. And then Norway at 30-1 takes on England. So we'll get at least the 30-1 through, if not the England and Brewers cross-board parlay at plus 109.50. So really liking where, as I told Dave, our risk board setup. I got three quarters of the board covered. And essentially now with Argentina moving through, we're closing in on being able to really monetize and kind of pick our poison depending on, Moose, what those semifinal matchups will be. Takeaways for you now. After we've got everything together, we know what our Elite Eight is, if you will. We get the day off today to kind of catch our breath. Are you still as bullish on England, kind of knowing what their road is now into not only a potential semifinal, but then knowing what they could face on the other side?
Yeah, they have a little bit of an easier path. And, you know, not saying that, you know, Norway and Holland aren't going to be difficult. I think they are. And you look at what Erling Haaland's been able to do this year or this World Cup for Norway, it's been absolutely remarkable, right? So a huge soccer star, and he's put it on display. But then they get, if they should get past Norway, then it's either Argentina, who honestly last two matches have been in, fight or die kind of a scenario in both of their last two matches where they easily could have lost, but it's still Lionel Messi. And then it's either Switzerland, right? So if you're looking at that half of the draw, very similar to me when you look at the NBA Eastern Conference, right? A little bit of an easier draw for the Knicks in the East. And then you go out West. And listen, France might be the most, and I think they are, and by all accounts, everyone you talk to, I'm not going to tell you, profess that, I could tell you every, reserve that's coming off the bench for France, but France is considered to be the most talented team, the best team left, and obviously they're the betting favorite when you look at the futures market, but potentially they're facing Spain in a semifinal. Should Spain get through, right? That is going to be a really, really difficult semifinal to where some believe that maybe Spain matches up really, really well against France. So, yeah, I feel good about the three Lions. I mean, listen, I think if they were going to lose, and listen, they might lose the World Cup. I'm not telling you that they're definitively going to win. I like where I'm standing in terms of my future bet on Kane and England, but it would have been when they were down a man, up 3-2, last 30 minutes of that match down in Stadium Azteca. They didn't, and they hung on for dear life. I think England's going to beat Norway, and I think they're going to beat either of the Argentina or Switzerland winner. I think they're going to be in the World Cup final. If it's France in the way, if it's Spain in the way, you'll roll the dice there, and you might have an opportunity to where you could still leverage your future bet on England.
A huge development with Argentina surviving too in the golden boot race. Had Messi been eliminated, even with scoring the goal in the equalizer there, and who knows if we would have gone extra time, would have transpired. He right now, the short shot in the golden boot race, again, that is the most goal scorers or the highest amount of goals scored by a single player here in this World Cup. He is currently plus $1.15 with 8 goals, one ahead of Kylian Mbappe of France, plus $1.35. Erling Haaland of Norway also with 7 is plus $7.50. And then Harry Kane, 2 behind Messi with 6 at plus $8.50. Drama ensuing when we get the quarterfinal round going between France and Morocco. You are listening and watching VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're tuned in to VSIN by the Books, right here on VSIN.
Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis. We have confirmation. Our fearless leader, Captain America Dave Ross, has started his sojourn back to Middle America, or at least to the top of the South. The man that continues to be Mr. Worldwide is none other than the co-host of Money Moves. You can catch that 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern here on the network every single day alongside Stormy Bonantoni. He is Jonathan Tobel. Catch him also on Pod of the Futures with Mitch Moss joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Pal, always great to catch up with you each and every week. I know we have to touch on a little sensitive subject early. With Mexico bowing out the way they did to the three Lions, how's the family holding up? What was your guys' setup watching that just electric match on Sunday night?
Well, you know, what's funny is the setup was I was maybe a little hungover from celebrating the, you know, the anniversary of our country's birth. So I was watching at home, but in a very quiet setting, too, with all the lights off. But look, it was a really good game. They fought really, really hard, and it was a fantastic environment. I told this to Stormy the other day. That's one of the broadcasts where, like, one of the few that I thought did a great job somehow translating the environment to us at home, like the crowd noise, you know, the impact of all of those people on top of them as they're playing that match. I thought it was one of the more incredible just sporting events, period, that I really watched. And then knowing the magnitude of it. But I will say this, guys, and I told this to Mitch on Pod to the Futures, and I said this to Stormy, I think if there is an underrated team, and it's hard to be as underrated as they are considering they're near the top, but I think England's had a really underrated run throughout this World Cup so far. And if you look at the futures and the way this sets up, you know, they're sitting around plus 470 to win this whole thing, still behind Argentina, Spain, and France. I think the three Lions have played extremely well. You look at a lot of the attack metrics. They're at the top in terms of the top five in almost every single category. I think that they're a group that it should be, I think a lot of these teams should be looking over their shoulders at this English group. And I think that they're going to be able to win this whole thing. I've been wildly impressed with what they've been able to do so far.
Yeah, it's music to my ears. I got a World Cup future before the tournament started, JVT, on England. So I'm rooting for the three Lions. And sorry, I was rooting on the opposite side of you Sunday night down in Stadium Azteca. What's your take overall? I mean, this World Cup has delivered. I mean, the drama we saw down in Atlanta yesterday between Argentina and Egypt. Any of these matches after an off day today, any of these matches that you're keeping an eye on moving forward that you're going to be investing in?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple that really do stick out. I mean, what I'm going to be curious about here is this Argentina-Switzerland game, and I think you want to bet this thing over the total. We're looking at like 2.5. The initial look at the over was plus 114, but you know, if you look at both of these teams so far, yeah, I think there's some questions about who they've played up to this point. Argentina, for example, you could ask, all right, are they as good statistically on defense as they have shown? You look at the strength of schedule of their opponents and just expected goals generated. Algeria was 22nd. Austria was 29th. Jordan's been 40th in this tournament so far. Cape Verde is 31st. Egypt, 18th. And then we saw what Egypt did to them in that matchup and maybe should have even at least had a better chance at winning that considering they had a goal taken off the board. And then for Switzerland, you know, they've faced an easy schedule of opposing defenses, but they've still generated quite a bit. I think you could see a scenario in which these two break out. But you do wonder what Switzerland's going to have in the tank. I mean, Colombia really held them down. 0.39 expected goals. I expect that Argentina is going to move on, but I think we could get a similar matchup for Argentina that we saw, minus the dramatic comeback against Egypt. But we're talking about a 3-2, 2-1 type deal. You can get that thing over the total between the two of them.
Going to be fun to watch the quarterfinal getting underway tomorrow between France and Morocco. France still the short shot at plus $1.80 to win this World Cup. Jonathan Von Tobel joining us as he always does on Wednesdays, co-host of Money Moves and the Pod of the Futures podcast. Okay, brother, I know you do a fabulous job of as we bridge ourselves here to football season. We do have NBA Summer League action that is commencing. Particulars for you, for people that do kind of want to dip their toe into the shallow end, maybe even cannonball into the deep end, some guardrails that you'd have betting these type of games and maybe even some futures outlook as well.
Yeah, so I think there's a, you know, it's a long answer, but I think there's a couple of things you want to look for. First and foremost, when it comes to just game to game, look, this is preseason betting, guys. Like, you want to be ahead of some information if you can somehow, which is always difficult in today's day and age. And you know, I always like to give this example, but there was a couple of years ago where Kelly Bidlin and I were sitting in the arena at the Thomas & Mack, and we're watching the Pistons and the Raptors warm up. And we're watching the Pistons. And at that time, they had a bunch of guys that were expected starters for them and had played at them last year, Asar Thompson among them. And we were like, hey, like, do you see Asar Thompson warming up? Do you see all these guys? And we're wondering. So luckily, I was credentialed. So I went down to watch them at court level and realized that none of the guys, not even warming up, they weren't even on the bench. And yet the Pistons were about 6.5 points. Yeah, but they were 6.5 point favorites in the game. So you get ahead of that. They end up, the Raptors do, covering the number. But the whole point is this is preseason betting. So it's all information-based, trying to get ahead of lineups. You could try to evaluate these teams for the most part, but it's hard. You also don't know, just like spring training, Jensen, or in preseason settings, what they're working on, what they're actually trying to do. And so that is really going to be big on a game-to-game basis. But from a future standpoint, you know, I call them on Monday's show, we call them our commandments of betting summer league futures. I have like three tent poles that I really like to use. And I think a lot of people do too. I don't think they're unique to me. But I think first and foremost is you want some guys that have some playing time in the NBA underneath their belt. It makes such a big difference. You know, you look at a team like the Brooklyn Nets, for example, they have Igor Demin, Drake Powell, Ben Sarraf, Danny Wolfe. I mean, these are all guys that last year, Igor Demin played 52 games and he averaged 10.3 points per game. Drake Powell appeared in 63 games for him. Ben Sarraf played in 44. Danny Wolfe played in 57. Now, they didn't play at an extremely high level. Only Demin averaged double digits in terms of scoring. But these games are going to be so much slower for these guys who are playing a ton of NBA basketball over the course of this last calendar year, that playing in a gym against a bunch of guys that are on a team together for the first time should be relatively easy for them. So you want those sort of guys, those second-year dudes, maybe even third-year dudes that have some good minutes under their belt. You also want those blue-chip prospects, too. You know, Atlanta sticks out to me. You have Kingston Flemings that is going to be out there that should be playing with this Falcons, or should be with Falcons, this Hawks team. You have Asa Newell, who's going to be out there too, who kind of fits the parameters of both. He should be a good prospect and also played a little bit for the Hawks a season ago. And then, of course, you've got some guys, and this fits into the third one, which is some dudes that at least have some college belt, some length in their college career under their belt that I think have some upside. You know, the Hawks have Keyshawn Gilbert out there. For those who don't remember Gilbert, you know, he actually played at UNLV, played at Iowa State, was a really good defensive-oriented guard, kind of like the makeup of the Hawks. And then some really long-in-the-tooth journeymen, too, that have played, like, overseas, that have matured physical bodies, that are really going to be able to bully some of these younger dudes that they're playing. So those are kind of like the 10 pulls that I'm looking for in the teams. And it leads me to Brooklyn, Atlanta, Orlando. We're talking about teams in the range of 18-25-1 to win this thing that I think worth putting a little bit down on, because I think all three of those teams fit those parameters. And, in fact, Orlando has my favorite roster, not in terms of overall talent. You talk about old guys, dude. You have four guys on this roster that have at least 3+ years of service post-NBA, including Cam Reddish, who has been out there for forever and is on this summer league roster. So we'll see if that actually comes to fruition, because I'd tell your listeners, keep in mind, and by the way, you can go to MeJVT. I have all these summer league rosters compiled into Google Doc up there, my link tweet. Some guys are only on rosters to practice, because in order to practice, you've got to be on the roster. So they might not play. Always keep that in mind. But the Magic have an old squad for a summer league setting. I'm going to be really curious to see how many guys get out there.
JVT, over to football here. What's your take? And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier in the week on the Buffalo Bills. What's your take when you take a look at the complexion of the AFC East with the Patriots and obviously Allen and the Bills?
Yeah, yes, I think Mark, the Bills are going to win this division. But my called shot for this division is I think a lot fewer wins are going to be able to win it than people think. I mean, both the Bills and the Patriots have some real questions about them coming into this season. I mean, the Patriots did a really good job of revamping the skill positions, but you know, we can talk ad nauseum like we did last year about the schedule and how easy it was. And this is way, way different for this the quality opponent that they're going to face, despite the upgrades on the roster. And then for the Buffalo Bills, I mean, it's kind of a season of change at this point right now. We obviously know that McDermott is out, and so they wanted to go in a different direction, but you go in a different direction by hiring the offensive assistant / offensive coordinator that was on the team for the last 3.5-4 years. So I don't know how much different that's going to be for an offense that hasn't had a 1,000-yard receiver each of the last 2 years. And then they go and they get DJ Moore to maybe fix those. But guys, statistically, Moore has been declining over the last couple of seasons. He hasn't had 1,000 yards himself in 3 of the last 4. And then you look at this overall depth chart again at wide receiver. You know, you have Khalil Shakir, you've got Keon Coleman, but he only caught 38 balls for 404 yards. Josh Palmer is an NFL vet. After those guys, the rest of the projected depth chart at wide receiver caught a grand sum of 18 passes in 2025. So you have questions at wide receiver depth. It's a defense that got rid of quite a bit. 2,600 snaps from last year's defense for Buffalo are out the door in some form or fashion, and they're changing into a 3-4 front. So what does that mean for the way that a defense that finished dead average in defensive efficiency is going to play this year? I think the Bills are going to win the division, but I also think like 10-7 might win this thing because of the signs of regression, I think, for the Patriots and the fact that this Bills team, I think, is a little bit more flawed than people give them credit for.
Going to be here before you know it. If you love the AFC East synopsis from JVT, who did a fabulous write-up for our NFL betting guide there, become a VSiN Pro subscriber. He's got the Mountain West and the SEC for our college betting guide that's on deck. JVT, thanks so much, brother. We'll talk again next week.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
There he is, co-host of Money Moves, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern with Story Bonantoni here on the network weekday afternoons. A lot of headlines to get to, including the fallout of Team USA, Christian Pulisic taking some friendly fire. That
and a preview of the Scottish Open next on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Football season gonna be here soon, people, and that means Winners Circle Proxy and VSiN are your one-stop shop for contest signups right now, giving away two incredible prize packages that will put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contests for free. One winner gets the $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor. The other winner gets the $1,000 entry into Circa Millions. Both winners will also receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. That's about as good as it gets, people. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. Again, winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Great to catch up with Jonathan Von Tobel here. If you are not liked and following our VSiN by the Books podcast, please do so. Great parameters here, Mark, on if you want to dip your toe into the NBA Summer League. I thought he laid it out really well, and just being very conservative, making sure that you really follow up until the final moments there of who is in and who is out. We do know who is out in the World Cup, and unfortunately, it was a very tough exit for the United States men's national team. People are starting to bring out the knives on certain players, and Christian Pulisic is catching some really big flack. I want to have you listen to a clip from Prop Points. Kyle Bone yesterday, basically illuminating his thoughts on how Christian Pulisic was trying to translate his talent to the men's national team, but he doesn't have that, quote, superstar feel. Take a listen.
He is unquestionably the most accomplished club football player in American history, but it just hasn't translated to the national team. And that is tough to reconcile. I think the hard part with Pulisic too, is that he just doesn't have the feel of a superstar. He doesn't have the charm. He doesn't have the leadership. He isn't charismatic. He hasn't done it in many big moments. And I think that's tough for fans to really get behind when a player has all this hype and promise and comes through once in a while, but it doesn't make up for the misses in the press conference or in front of a microphone. And he's doing all these commercials, but like, he doesn't feel, I don't want to say likable, but like, he doesn't have that energy to him, and it's hard for people to get behind. I get it.
Oh man. So Kyle Bond right there, just letting him have it. And it wasn't just Kyle Bond yesterday. Carly Lloyd, who was pretty outspoken. Remember, we played her reaction on the post game after the Belgium contest. She took to Twitter and X and said, "You rest when your playing career is over, period." And that in response to Christian Pulisic himself saying, "Yeah, now I can go rest." Like, whoa, okay. That is, you kind of sell out no matter how and what condition you're in. You just don't take these opportunities for granted. I'll tell you myself, Moose, I was fortunate enough my rookie year in the big leagues to get to the American League Championship Series. We were one win away from the World Series. I never got back to the postseason in my major league career after that. So you never know how close you can get to the promised land. It is not a given. It is not a foregone conclusion. You're going to be in those positions year in and year out. Heck, waiting 4 years for every opportunity that you may get or may not get in the World Cup. So I think it is due criticism. I appreciate Carly Lloyd and a lot of other people being very honest and candid about it. Moose, your thoughts on what Kyle Bond had to say, as well as some of the reaction we've seen here in the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it wasn't the proper comment from Christian Pulisic. I think you got to give him credit for raising raising United States men's soccer for the last 7-8 years. I mean, I really do. And I do know this. I mean, he's not the goalkeeper, right? Freeze was terrible against Belgium, right? He wasn't, some of the other players, when you look at it over the course of it, that couldn't defend. You know, and I get when you're the best player on the team or perceived to be the best player on the team going into it. And, you know, the most accomplished American, you know, when you're looking at club player internationally and you're looking at Pulisic being, you know, our version of to a minor level, our version of Lionel Messi or Ronaldo or that caliber of player. And no, he's not that, right? But nobody else is on that on the United States men's soccer team. And even if he was, he wasn't all of a sudden going to be able to beat Belgium because the American team got outclassed against Belgium. So listen, I understand. I'm not telling you that the comments he made and Carly Lloyd, obviously, so, you know, one of the more accomplished women soccer players that this country has ever produced. And she, you know, is frustrated by, I think we're all frustrated by the way that it ended, by how poorly they played against Belgium. And I understand when you're the biggest star on the team, you're going to get the most heat after that kind of a failure and all that. And it was a disappointing World Cup for Christian Pulisic. But there is other growth that needs to happen for United States men's soccer in order for them to be able to take that next step. It's great that they were in the top 16, right? Should they be in the field of eight? Yeah, they probably should be in the field of eight. Would it be great to be able to watch them Friday afternoon? It would be. We're not going to be able to watch them. Now we have to wait four more years and see where the development in United States soccer is at that point in time. You know, and I get Pulisic is not what we thought he potentially was going to be 8 years ago. He's still an unbelievable soccer player, given the state of what we've seen from the United States men's soccer for the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah, agreed. So we'll see what happens and what the fallout will be. But the conversation ongoing, and you wonder if that even in a negative light initially is not a bad thing from a positive outlook for people wanting to be a part of it and say, hey, you know what? Let me get involved here. I think we can take this team to another level. Speaking of taking to another level, we do it week in and week out here on Wednesdays. Our PGA Tour bet the builds for each and every tournament. This week, it is the Genesis Scottish Open. Traditionally here, Moose, this is your dress rehearsal for everyone to get ready for the Open next week. And obviously the final major of the PGA Tour season. This will take place at the Renaissance Club in North Berwick, Scotland. It's going to be one of those firm and fast courses. So obviously your tight fairways come into play here. You're going to have to be creative in the shot making. All the big names, or at least as many of them as possible. Why are they in this tournament here, Moose? Because you get the body clock change. You get back to some links golf, if you will. There aren't any water hazards on this course, but there are plenty of bunkers. You're going to have all the coastal winds and maybe some rain that looks like it's in the forecast, especially for Saturday. And we could also see some cooler and breezier conditions throughout the weekend. Here's how I went for our FanDuel Bet the Build lineup for the Genesis Scottish Open. I shopped at the top. Two of our favorites headed in, and you'll probably see a decent amount of Euros that will be in both my FanDuel and DraftKings lineups. We start with Scottie Scheffler, world number one, usually is as good as it gets from a ball striking standpoint, scrambling and putting, which we will need. I totally understand he's going to be a chalk play. I'm fine with taking the best player in the world. I am also great with Tommy Fleetwood, who is my number two selection. He is a specialist on the English links courses, a strong recent run here for him. A lot of top finishes, as good a ball striker and scrambler as we have on tour. Let's go to a guy who has been really hot. About Wyndham Clark. I like the value. I like the upside. Of course, he has had great momentum here headed overseas. I think that puts him in a great spot. So three big boys at the top. Then we went with some salary savers with Andrew Putnam at $7,800, John Perry at $7,700, and Austin Ekro. His upside might be one of my favorites here. He's going to be very low owned. He's very low cost, but I think his floor and ceiling combo alongside Putnam and Perry give us some great salary relief that allows us to get those three big boys in Scheffler, Fleetwood, and Clark. So that's the FanDuel lineup. On DraftKings, we changed it up just a little bit. We did keep Scottie Scheffler at the top there, but we went with Oh, Dave Ross, if you're listening, don't pull off the road. Yes, we went with the big Swede. We did. Ludwig Åberg, obviously, with what he's done overseas, very powerful, going to be able to get it out there. Let's see if he can finally play deep into a weekend and kind of, you know, get that tournament finishing mentality ready for the Open next week. Matty Schmidt, also a great European that I think from a ball striking and scrambling standpoint is going to be great. $6,800, a great value price. We went right back to Putnam and Ekro at $6,700 and $6,200 respectively. And then Nico Echeverria, who has been in a lot of our different lineups here the last month or two, he probably is my biggest boom or bust candidate in this lineup. But overall, I think we've leveraged this build knowing we get two of the big dogs in Scheffler and Åberg at the top. And then the value selections that we have with Matty Schmidt, Andrew Putnam, Nico Echeverria, and Austin Ekroth. So that will be our two Bet the Builds on FanDuel and DraftKings for the Genesis Scottish Open. Cannot wait because it's one of Dave's favorite tournaments next week, Mos. It is Team No Sleep for him with all the early tee times overseas. So we will obviously dive into that and much more next week. If you are just waking up with us, perfect timing. Highlights and headlines to catch you up on all that happened on the pitch and the diamond when you come back on VSiN by the Books.